We have 10 years left to reduce carbon dramatically or face a different and desolate planet. So says Dr. James Hansen in this speech to the Architecture 2030 conference on February 20th, 2007. It's a remarkable speech by a scientist funded by the American government. The title is The Threat to the Planet and How We Can Avoid Dangerous Climate Change. The event was called a Global Emergency Teach-In and organized by the New York Academy of Sciences. Find out more at www.2010imperative.com.
The threat to the planet and how can we avoid dangerous climate change. The implication is that we can avoid dangerous climate change. But so it's not a gloom and doom story, but it is an action story. If we don't begin to take the actions now, it will become a gloom and doom story. We can't begin 10 years from now or 20 years from now. We've got to begin this year and next year to take actions. That level of 1 degree warmer than today is the absolute maximum that we should allow human-made effects to change the planet, because otherwise we will be approaching the temperatures that existed in the middle Pliocene 3 million years ago, when it was a very different planet. Again, we have information from the history of the Earth. In general, when the planet has become warmer, the western U.S. has been drier and even had super droughts, and that's the danger that we face if we go to a very large level of global warming. And I would like to point out that the pie chart on the left shows that China is just about to catch the United States in current emissions. And within 2 or 3 years, they will pass us as the largest emitter of carbon dioxide. But that will not relieve our responsibility, because what affects climate is the integrated emissions over time. And we have emitted more than 3 times any other country. China and Russia are approximately tied for second, but we're more than a factor of 3 greater than either of those countries. And so for many decades into the future, we are going to be the primary cause of the global climate change. And in fact, our responsibility runs deeper than that, because we have discouraged the attainment of international accords that are designed to try to take the first steps towards solving the problem. And on a per capita basis, we're the largest emitter of carbon dioxide, with Canada and Australia very close behind us. There have been large global warmings in the past. The last really big one was 55 million years ago, when the Earth warmed up about 6 degrees Celsius, and it caused the extinction of more than 90% of the species on the planet. Well, of course, these climate changes in the past, although they drove many species to extinction, new species came in to replace them. But that requires, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years. And if we drive species to extinction now, it will be a much more desolate planet for any time period that humanity is concerned about. If we're going to stretch the readily available oil and gas long enough until we can develop new technologies that don't produce CO2, we're going to need to use that oil and gas judiciously. We're going to need to emphasize efficiencies. We are wasting these very precious resources. An important point, which is not appreciated by the the public and policymakers, I think, is the fact that approximately a quarter of the carbon dioxide that we put in the air will stay there forever. That, by that I mean more than 500 years, which for all practical purposes is forever. And so that's the reason that we cannot exploit the unconventional fossil fuels or the coal unless we're going to capture the CO2 and sequester it. There is still time to solve this problem, but we need to begin to take actions now. If we stay on business as usual for just another 10 years, so to 2017, by that time, emissions of CO2 will be more than 40% higher than they were in year 2000. But the alternative scenario that I mentioned and did not have time to go into in detail requires that we reduce emissions and be lower by about 30% by the time we get to the middle of the century. But if we're 40% above 2000 emissions in 10 years, there's no practical way that we can get back onto that track. So we really can't wait another 10 years to begin to change the track that we're on. There's just too much pressure from the special interests. And the energy departments and the fossil fuel companies think that they can continue business as usual. And the energy departments make curves for the future energy use and the future fuel use that assumes that more and more use of fossil fuels without capture of CO2 is a God-given fact. It doesn't need to be. We've made changes in our energy use in the past, but it's not going to happen without some pressure on the politicians that exceeds the pressure from the special interests. And in that regard, I would particularly like to make note of the plans for demonstrations that Bill McKibben and organization they call Step It Up 07. You can find the information on stepitup07.org. They plan to have peaceful demonstrations about this issue on April 14th. And I think it would be very helpful if the politicians would see that there are a large number of people who are beginning to be concerned about this, because there are so many advantages in beginning to address the problem and beginning to address it soon that we should be doing it. But it's not going to happen unless people make clear that they want it to happen. Thanks. Yeah, I forgot to mention anything that I say that relates to policy is my personal opinion, and I'm not representing my agency or the government.
You have been listening to Dr. James Hansen in this speech to the Architecture 2030 conference on February 20, 2007. The event was called A Global Emergency Teach-In and organized by the New York Academy of Sciences. Find out more at www.2010imperative.com. This audio was prepared by Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock at www.ecoshock.org.